Took as much time as humanly possible getting on here tonight. Oh. 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 That is a Tennessee loses 92-88 to the hands of what a mess. As the Vols lose 92-88, Tony Basilio reporting from studio control. That was painful. I'm not gonna lie to you. Let's go through some of the numbers. The bottom line is the number you need to know. Tennessee missed one of their last. Made one of their last 9 field goals, 2 of their last 11. And outside of a 3-pointer, it was basically a 15-0 run to end the game. I mean, did we just witness that? Did we just see what I think we just saw? Because I don't want to believe that we just saw what I think we just saw. That was painful. Painful, 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 painful. As we welcome you into another edition, Tony Basilio along with you, and I'm sitting here in my mind's eye and I'm just kind of going over. Did we just see what we just saw? Did we just witness what we just witnessed? And as TC in Athens said, I don't know why I continue to do this to myself. That loss, I'm going to tell you where I'm at. I was typing on my blog, kind of as I go. You know, I've got a daily blog at TonyBasilio.com. You can see it. Those of you who are watching on Periscope on my sign back behind me, TonyBasilio.com. And on my at TonyBasilio.com, I'm sitting there typing and doing my thing, and I'm talking about what a great win it was. And then that stress drive happened, and I'm sitting there going, what the? You got to get Rick Barnes, you got a coach there. Now, this is what you paid for. Your kids have played well. You got a coach there. You can't have five empty trips and the wrong person with the ball the whole time. It's not going to work. The numbers are just staggering in the game. Punter ends up with 19 in a game where he was out of it at halftime. There were so many good signs in this game. Schofield continues to come. He's averaging well in double figures in league play. So many bright spots in this game, and then just to lose it because you're out of gas at the end. You got to manage that game better than that. Tennessee, 2 of their last 11. Texas A&M, 6 of their final 6 from the field. 6 out of 6. You're just not going to beat people like that. You're just not. And that's one right there that's going to sting. And you know what? You have a long season, you're going to have those. You just are. But we'll go to the phones, we'll try to get as many people in as possible. That was a brutal, count them on one hand, brutal loss right there. That was an all-time brutal loss for our basketball Vols. An all-time brutal loss. And it just kind of does break my heart, to be honest with you, to see that happen. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us again. 865-200-5402. As we talk about the basketball Vols and what went wrong today, and this is going to be like an autopsy this afternoon, taking this game apart. This is going to be like an autopsy. That was an all-time brutal loss. All-time. I mean, there's just no way around it. There's just no way around it. That's a game right there you gotta get. You just gotta get that game. I mean, you just gotta get that game. And you gotta do me better. You gotta do me better than that. Down the stretch. When your team plays like that, Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. 865-200-5402. A game Tennessee had in their hands. They had an 11-point lead. Little over 5 to go. It was 8, 4.5 minutes, and then it went. I know you looked up and they were down 1. Bang. Bang. You know? There were a lot of positives in today's game. You gotta manage that game better than that. It's what you're paid for. You gotta get your team home there. You gotta get your team home. You got to. That's non-negotiable with me. You have got to get your team home there. All right. Let's go to the phones, get as many folks in as humanly possible. Let's welcome in our first caller. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's MP.
Hey, MP, welcome in, brother.
Couple observations from the second half. I think they definitely left Schofield and Hubs on the bench way too long. There were times in there, Derek Reese, you know, was in there guarding their big guy, get fouling him. Turning the ball over, you know, rolling on the floor with the ball, that was big. And I also felt Moore and Punter, all three of the seniors, really made some bad decisions. I mean, it's like they're dribbling into an abyss and spinning, trying to kick it to somebody, and how many turnovers did that cause? Yeah, Barnes' lack of adjustments there really got me. You know, there were several runs A&M put on in the early part of the second half, and we were able to shoot our way back to a lead by hitting threes. But we weren't able to do that, and he just didn't adjust.
Well, your point about the seniors not playing well was going to be one of my highlight points. Tennessee was going to get out of there with all three of those guys playing B games, B, C plus games. They were going to get out of there with a win. But it just wasn't, at the end of the day, that, for as hard as that team played, and for as shorthanded as they are, look, I don't mind A&M beating them, and you don't mind A&M beating them. We kind of all thought A&M was going to beat them. The point is, though, you can't allow one run-out basket after another, one run-out dunk after another, one run-out dunk after... make them earn it. That's the thing that hurts me about that game is A&M... Now, A&M picked it up on the defensive end. There's no doubt about that. But Hubs had an ill-advised shot. You know, they run one set, they get the ball to Schofield. You got to have... the ball has to be there in punter's hands from the 10-minute mark on. The ball is in his hands, especially with the 6-minute mark. You have an 8-point lead, MP. The punter.
Honestly, Hubs had a bad second half. He was having a good first half, and he sat too long. I do think they should have ran some plays for him, trying to post up some of those smaller guys and try to get him going in the second half. It's just like Barnes almost put it on cruise control. You know, by what I was saying earlier, by having Schofield and Hubs on the bench and just rolling with, you know, with Balkman and with Derek Reese. And, I mean, when Balkman stopped hitting shots, he was a liability. You know, I like Reese's effort. He was a huge liability today. But when you look at A&M, it's nice to watch a team that's got basketball players.
Well, no doubt.
And, I mean, I hope that Barnes sees that and will eventually – walk basketball players on this roster.
Well, here's the thing. A&M gets out of there with a win, with Collins getting them 5 points in a game where he was off the floor for half the game because he was in foul trouble. And he's their motor. And to your point, that House kid is a damn great player. That Davis kid, that freshman, is unbelievable. You know, he shoots 72% from the field, and you can see why when you watch him play today. Because that cat can flat out play. House, he just has an old school game. He is relentless taking that ball to the hole, relentless going to the hole, and those guys played like I think they are, which is the best team in the SEC. And
they
did it down the stretch.
And they play
absolutely
old school, pounded in. They finish, they pass, they post pass to each other. It's really a good thing to watch, and they didn't play a bad game. It shows you how good Tennessee played. You know, even when A&M was down 12, they were playing. It was a really good team playing a really good game. So, if you look at it on paper, 4-point loss, you know, but just the way that I just don't understand why there weren't some timeouts called and why Barnes didn't decide to adjust and go with, you know, I would have even said, okay, let's go back small again. You know, we can't beat them inside. Let's go small. Let's spread things out. Get 4 or 5 shooters on the floor. You know, instead of having Moore and Reese. I hate to say it, but the seniors, all three of them, punter made some bad decisions that totally let us down and cost the game. I'll jump off. So thanks.
Thank you, my friend. 865-200-5402. Tennessee loses today. It's your Smart Way Garza Law Firm. Tennessee basketball overtime. The Vols gave such great effort to build that lead. 35 minutes in, game was over. Game was over. And A&M, and a guy on Twitter had a great point, or on Periscope had a great point, which is that A&M, it isn't even like they were getting fast breaks off turnovers. They were getting fast breaks off missed shots. Runouts off missed shots. Now I'm here to tell you, that just shouldn't happen. That just shouldn't happen. And the seniors didn't play well. There's no doubt about that. And Schofield is quite a find. And this team is better than we think they are, the Vols are. They just are. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with a very good Texas A&M team today. That's what happened. Now, we can sit there and you know, and we're going to bellyache and kind of bitch about this game, but the truth is, that would have been a great win to get it. And that's what's so painful about it. Let's go to the phones. I got to bring Keith Hatfield in. Keith, I've given you about 10 minutes to calm down as requested. And I do take requests, by the way.
Thank you.
Now that you've calmed down, let's look at what just happened.
Well, Tennessee lost because a senior player made in the 35, 40 years I've been watching basketball the two stupidest plays I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not going to mention him by name because I've never mentioned him by name on this show again. So I'm going to start a countdown clock at the end of his career. Tennessee lost the game when it was 84-76, and he who shall not be named decided to throw the ball at the rim instead of throwing it back out. With an 8-point lead with 4 minutes to go, that was the game.
You're being rather subtle.
Well, and Robert Hubbs is about as competitive as a poodle, too. But he gets his, too. I mean, he never offered the first bit of resistance to Jalen Jones in the post the whole time he guarded him. Those are two guys right there. If Barnes doesn't just go ahead and give Kyle Alexander the one guy's minutes and Shambari Phillips the other guy's minutes, I may not watch the rest of the season.
Wow.
Gutless basketball doesn't fly with me.
Keith, how do you allow, and I know we're tired and I know we built the lead, how do you allow those runouts down the stretch just constant?
Well, because you've got a combined basketball of IQ of about 30 between Baltman and Mostella. And your wings are the guys who weren't getting back. And Hubs wasn't getting back. That's because he doesn't care enough to run back. If I'm Rick Barnes, there may be three guys that have eligibility left who are on this roster next year when I'm done with this season.
You have to admit, or maybe you don't, but there were some real bright spots today that point toward a pretty good future. And when you consider
the two freshmen were fantastic. But I mean, they can't carry a team full of slackers and half-wits.
No,
I mean, you've got the best defender. This conference, the best on-ball defender as far as getting his hands on balls, this conference has seen in probably 5 or 6 years. And will consistently throw the ball in the high post and then try to throw the ball through him. Yes, he had, 18 turnovers? I bet 12 of them were trying to throw the ball past Alex Caruso.
Boy, his hands are sticky, aren't they? He's a smart player. I'll tell you what, that A&M team is a team in March that nobody wants to line up across from. Because they showed you why. They showed you why. To put them out, you got to kill them. They showed you that today.
Well, you saw that, but you also saw DJ Hoges, was a top 50 player last year. He comes in the game. Watch his one skill. He's a shooter. He immediately gets a jump shot wide open. I mean, they got Daniel House open twice for threes, running dribble handoffs. The guy led the league conference in scoring last year. And that's not coaching. That guy's just not playing hard.
Whoa, 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 whoa. It is coaching. What do you mean it's not coaching? You and your love fest with Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes let them off the hook today. You're going to blame the players? You're going to blame the players.
That's exactly right. It's always the coach. It's not a bunch of guys who never should have been recruited here who can't play dead. When guys are in position and stand there and watch the guy catch it, then, oh, wait a minute, that guy's going to play in the NBA. I might saunter out here and look at him.
Let's go to the phones. Hatfield, you just really, I mean, You got four guys, you got four empty trips there at the end. Okay, this was really where the game was decided. Now granted, they were scoring run out baskets at the other end. It was disgusting. But you're gonna tell me that there the coach managed that properly? The ball's not in punter's hands. It's gotta be in punter's hands. It's gotta run through punter.
The only thing he mismanaged at the end of the game was not having Shambari Phillips in for Robert Hudd and somebody, I don't care if it was the manager in, for the other guy. If that guy sees the floor again, I'll probably pull the plug on the season. He made the two stupidest plays I've ever seen in the history of college basketball. Tennessee's up 12. He picks up a loose ball on the floor. Instead of just calling timeout, he decides to roll over. Guess he doesn't know the rules. Then he gets an offensive rebound. A guy who can't shoot to save his life. And just throws the ball at the rim from 8 feet with 4 minutes to go in an 8-point lead.
Now, he gets credit for diving on the floor after that ball. I mean, he's a really good glue guy.
You know what he sticks you to? The bottom half of the SEC standings is what he sticks you to.
Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. A day that can only be described. This is what makes people like Keith and myself, and we're like brothers. Not really. Yelling and screaming at each other. That's what it does. This loss here is the type of loss, Keith, that divides you. This is two consecutive Saturday losses that just make me want to go blank. I mean, come on, Hatfield.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Oh, sure, those things that could, first of all, they should quit throwing the ball into the high post. I'm not saying Barnes is up, but I'm not going to blame a guy for guys being in position and not moving. When Devin Bachman stands there and sees, oh, wow, Daniel House just caught that. He's going up. Well, I'll feign like I actually played defense here while the ball's going through the net. You know what, the only fault Barnes has in that is that he put him in the game.
So we're tweeting at you. We're periscoping at you. We're live on the app at TonyBasilio.com. We're infrared. We're ultraviolet. We're bad. We're nationwide. And we're going back to the phones. And I want to remind you, we're presented by our friends at Smartway. And also, where we were yesterday, it is a new year. It is a new you. Ring in this new year and this new you with Smartway. It was great being there yesterday. Zach Attack and the gang. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in where this is all about you. They're playing
hey,
commercials.
Tony, what's up, bud?
We're taking calls. Hey, welcome in.
Hey, man, it's Josh.
Hey, Josh, get in here.
Man, that was stung. That one kind of sucked. But, I thought this, you know, when Texas A&M went to the zone, you know, even at the end of the first half and then, late in the game, we just couldn't score. I mean, kind of like Hatfield say, you know, it's what he said. We tried to throw at the high post and it was just turnover after turnover. And, the only stop that we got there when they ran off about six or eight baskets in a row was when we went to a zone. And I don't know why we didn't try to play a little bit more zone at the end because Davis was killing us inside and then Jones was killing us inside. And, we didn't have any answers. Like,
but you know what? Even at that, you got a 10-point lead and you allow four runouts. Four.
Oh yeah. I
don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. Have you ever seen a team get four runouts?
No, but Texas A&M special. They got some special athletes on that team. I mean, that don't excuse those easy baskets, run out dunks, but they are talented. And,
we got some special guys too.
I know Derrick Reese sucks, but I mean, what do you do? I mean, you know.
The guy's trying. Hey, I tell you what, Keith can get on him for rolling on the floor, and he does drive me crazy too. He drives us all crazy.
Yeah,
but
I'll
give the guy credit. The guy has gotten the most out of what little ability he has to play at this level. He's gotten the most out of it. And I don't mean that as a slight toward him. I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I mean, I admire a guy that goes out there, even though he really probably ought not be out there. And he plays hard. And I'll give him credit this year.
I'm not going to sit here and bash him. But
no!
Monty Moore, I thought the officiating sucked at times in the second half.
Yeah, it was uneven both ways. A&M had a couple calls go against them. The third on Collins was an all-time bad foul. I mean, the officials today were brutal, Keith, in that game. Josh is right about that.
I just.
How pissed is Hatfield right now, Josh?
Yeah, I understand, man. I feel that way too at times, but I just kind of accepted it. Accepted how much talent this team has, which isn't that very much.
Yes.
And honestly, we're playing better than we are. We shouldn't have beat Florida by that amount. And we shouldn't have been in this game today just looking at the kids on the floor comparing them to each other. And honestly, this recruiting class coming in, it's going to be the same thing next year. So, I mean, what am I supposed to expect out of this program? Get us some players in here. You know what I'm saying? I
right.
Mean, all four of those guys will be in the top 150 in the final ranking.
The ones we have coming?
Yeah. That's what Keith's telling me.
Me. I've seen John Fulkerson play his whole life, and if he's one of the top 150 kids in the country, it'll surprise the hell out of me, man. But hopefully he is.
You don't say.
But anyway, Tony, you know, who we have next? It's Wednesday night, right?
At Georgia.
What's Georgia got?
Nothing. They're not very good.
Same thing we do.
They're not very good. Yeah, they're
all right, man. Well, we better pick it up defensively or we're not going to see a road win this year. But
thank you.
Anyway, take care, Tony.
Thanks, Josh. What's sad about this is you look at last week's Auburn game, this team could be 4-0 right now. Or 3-0 in the league going to that. As you said,
3-0 with a real good chance to be 5-0 and then playing two home games.
And instead, Keith, we're talking about a team that's 1-2 and
going to play two road games.
Going to play two road games and can't be in a good frame of mind after that game. Veteran teams don't get up from that. And I guess our team is veteran, but they're not what you'd call solid veteran. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a game right there.
Oh, I haven't seen the last 5 minutes of that game. I know exactly what you mean. I get credit for not having said something that would tick the FCC off yet, Tony.
Well, we don't need the, we don't have the FCC. We're on the internet.
Well, I understand, but we try to at least be a remotely family program.
That's a good point. I'm proud of you for, yeah. You know, it's ironic. I was going to wear my Jerry Green shirt for the occasion, my Green Power shirt, and that looked like a Jerry Green ending. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, it's JJ.
Hey, Jay.
You know, here's one thing that I don't understand is this team. I don't understand Keith getting so bent out of shape when he's allowed himself to drink the Kool-Aid, and then you guys both want to flip-flop from being this team as a 500 team to we're going to be 10-6 in the SEC, and then it's going to be we're a 500 at best team, even in the SEC. The thing is just like Josh said, you just eyeball test and just look at the lack of continuity in this program in the last 3 years, the fact that we are very small, the fact that we were even in this game, this was the best game I've seen them play all year.
Agreed.
This was a better effort than Florida. And I think that there's a lot of things to accentuate the positives on. I didn't hear Hatfield on the first player that's public enemy number one. I heard him overreach. But what do you expect from a guy that should be playing goalie for Qatar, you know? I mean, it's
true. And that is true. That's what Reese is. Reese is like a soccer player. And he's an athlete.
If you're going to lose, you know what? Lose with Kyle Alexander. This is breaking songs.
Well, again, that's I understand that, and that's coaching, and that's what this comes down. My problem with today's game, JJ, is the kids played well enough to win. Quit trying to enter that pass to the high post.
Caruso was
having a field day with that. How many steals? Did he have eight steals?
Here's the thing: if they're going to be playing a 2-3 zone, the only alternative. There's two alternatives to that, is to drive or to pass around the perimeter. They got lazy with perimeter passes. They were getting lazy in the first half with perimeter passes. Guys were not coming to the ball, and they were getting away with not getting it picked. There were definitely passes that were picked. We did not get back in transition. But you know, focusing on Reese turnover, there was a possession where we were on defense, and the guy went to go get the rebound, and I could see it coming. Instead of picking it up and trying to pass it, he tried to dribble. As soon as he got the rebound, I don't know who it was in the same area as Reese turning it over on a hustle play. The guy tries to get a rebound, and instead of securing it, he tries to get it and immediately dribble in traffic in the baseline corner. You don't do that. You grab it, then you try to pass out of it. We did not box out the shooter. There were too many guys for A&M that were getting second chance opportunities off a missed shot from the perimeter where we weren't boxing out. I don't know if Hatfield was getting on to Moore. Anyone that gets on to Armani Moore is ridiculous, and I can't entertain that because he's 6'4", and the guy's giving it all he's got. I mean, the thing
Hatfield,
is,
were you getting on Armani Moore?
No, the only problem I've got with Armani Moore is trying to dribble the ball out of the corner there with five timeouts with about 2.5 minutes to go in the lead and turning the ball over.
Yeah, not smart.
I don't give a damn if he got fouled if they shot him in the face. Call a damn timeout.
I mean, the thing is we don't like punter. Punter is getting everything out of his God-given ability. So is Moore.
How about Schofield? I love this team. Jabari Phillips, those guys are going to be players. Hey, let me tell you something. If this class is half as good as Keith thinks it is, and I hope he's right. I hope he's right and I'm wrong. Okay, now a guy just said.
Well, hey, you guys seem to be hung up on rankings. Everybody we've signed in this fall period ranked a hell of a lot higher than Admiral Schofield and Jabari Phillips.
Okay, but here's the point. If those guys are half as good as you think they're going to be, we'll have a nice team next year because those good young players are going to be very good. That Schofield player, you mark me down, will be an all-SEC basketball player. That kid is a very good and he's got a lot of skill to build on.
And you know, as far as, like, I think I've been pleasantly surprised with our depth, but the thing is, like, it's Punter and Moore who are our ball handlers. If Punter's not in it, it's Moore bringing it up. And they're asked to do so much. We're counting on them for everything. Down low, defense, hustle plays. We just aren't that good. And I commend the guys. As far as the coaching, you can't make some of those balls go in that we missed. And I know that I just can't even get onto Barnes for coaching. I think the one thing that's questionable is with 6 minutes left, it seemed like we were definitely content and trying to slow down the game, and I think that kind of messed with our flow and our confidence. But I'm telling you, the one thing that pisses me off more than anything with officiating, the easiest call, the most often call that they make is a defender down low with his hand straight up. The offensive guy initiates the contact. They bail a guy out on offense for making a poor offensive move. And it's just like, how in the hell are these guys supposed to play defense? And then that takes away their aggressiveness because they're afraid they're going to get a foul call. I think the officiating is just terrible.
Well, that put Admiral Schofield on the bench with four fouls for 4 minutes when Caruso goes in and makes a play that 100 times out of the 100 times in the NBA is an offensive foul. And he gets two free throws, and Schofield gets 4 minutes on the bench.
I mean, yeah, totally. It's like the officiating is just so inconsistent. I know that A&M didn't get some calls, too, that were ticky-tack. But I think overall it's just the officiating is just they bail out offensive guys who are out of control. They're hurting the defense, and it's like the Pharisees, they'll strain out a gnat to swallow a camel. You can get pushed, you can get hacked when you're going aggressively to the goal. You can get, you know, people jumping over your backs. They don't call over the back. But heaven forbid, if you're on the low post and you got your arm straight up and a guy puts a shoulder into you and looks off balance, they're not content with calling a no call. They're calling on the defensive guy every damn time, and that's ridiculous.
Did you just work the Pharisees into your phone call?
I did.
Thank you, JJ. That's Have a great day. That must mean it's time for us to conclude our phone call here. Smart way.
One thing.
Go ahead.
You think I'm hacked right now? Imagine if I was an LSU fan doing a show like this. You do all this work. You go to Vanderbilt and win. You beat Kentucky. And then you go play a crappy Florida team and lose. I love that, Johnny Jones. I want Mike DeCourcy to scold me for saying he's an idiot again.
Yesterday you had DeCourcy on, and you guys were going round and round, and you called him a moron, and DeCourcy wasn't going for that. DeCourcy, I think, sometimes, Keith, likes to argue.
He's a coach worshiper.
He's more of a coach worshiper
than I am, which is pretty solid.
Rick Barnes said, we can sit here and pick apart this game, but we had a chance to win. He said Shambari Phillips played his absolutely best game without question.
Then my question, I'm glad I was in the media room, so the follow-up to that would have been, why the hell wasn't he on the floor the last 3 minutes? I mean, I guarantee he would have at least tried to guard Jalen Jones.
He also said Robert Hubbs has to realize they flat-out went after him. He has to learn from that defensively. Keith, that's exactly what they did. They flat-out went after a guy that they knew at the end of that game was not going to lay it out there. That's a shame. That's a shame about Hubbs, the way he'll just... And you know what? Tennessee did that twice in this game. The last 5 minutes of the first half, they fell asleep. And the last five minutes of the game...
Well, Hubbs gave away 4 points at the end of the first half by not going to the ball. It's not like those steals they made at the end of the first half to get the run out. They were making great plays. If Hubbs had done what you're taught from the time you're 5 years old, playing junior pro and come to the passes, they don't get either one of those.
And we're picking on people, and we're naming names today, but after a game like that, man, it just hurts.
I tell you, it's big boy basketball.
It hurts. Let's go to the phones. And there are expectations here. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I've got all three lines that we have in here lit up.
Well, I'll put it this way, Johnny. You know what my expectation is?
Yes.
Where a team has flown cross-country to play a game at noon their time.
Yes.
And comes out completely flat, and you jump all over their ass, and you've got your foot on their throat, you win that game. I don't think that's too much to expect. Now, granted, I think they're the best team in the SEC.
So do I.
I wouldn't be surprised if I look up this year in the regional finals, and they're one of the eight teams.
Neither
would
I.
They're that good. But you had them knocked out today. They were ready to quit. They were ready to go, you know what, we'll be 2-1 in the league. We just split a road trip to two places that we'll be fine. They were ready to cash it in. And we just started throwing them the ball and quit playing deep and quit running back on defense. It's inexcusable.
In the time we've been doing this, Keith, there have been
maybe as angry as I've been.
Yeah.
I wasn't this mad when they lost to Mercer in the NIT, when they lost this is as angry as I've been.
Yeah, it was really painful. And what I hate about that game more than anything is you built that lead with tremendous hard work, and you gave it up with BS. And maybe the team's just exhausted. I'm with JJ. I'm writing my line. I'm writing my little column for the blog, and I'm writing, hey, this game here, what makes you feel good about it is you had so many contributions from so many kids.
Oh, no doubt. But I look at it this way, Tony. If you're tired, why do you not throw the ball back out and milk clock up 8?
Well, that's my point about coaching. Run the thing down the 45. That's my point.
What are you supposed to go out there and tackle he who not shall not be named before he shoots?
You gotta take charge. It's your basketball team.
Okay, so he's somehow supposed to stop somebody from being stupid enough, who hasn't made a meaningful shot in his whole career here, from catching a rebound and then going straight back up with it. He's supposed to be able to stop him from being that dumb.
Keith, there were four, if not five, wasted trips.
If the worst player on the Puerto Rican national team throws that ball back out, Tennessee wins the game, period. The game's over.
That's not fair to him.
It's very fair.
Nor is it fair to Carlos Colon. Let's go back and get our next call in.
Hello. Hey, I don't care about the Puerto Ricans. They stabbed the Puerto Rican wrestling and the Puerto Rican national team. They stabbed Bruiser Brody and they let Eddie Gilbert overdose.
It's your smart way. Garza,
and they tried to arrest Bob Knight. So
it's your
let them be their own country.
It's your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball, overtime. The good, the bad, and the ugly. is what we go through in a season. We run the gamut here. The Florida game was sky high, if you heard or watched us. This thing here today is an all-time stinker. It hurts. And I'm kind of glad it hurts. It means we were invested in it a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Going to a go-go. Let's go to the back to the phones.
Hey, T.
Hey, who was that? We need Bino. Who did that? I know the Rolling Stones did a remake of that song.
Smokey
Robinson. Going to a go-go.
Smokey Robinson wrote that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, T-Boss. Way to nail it. Way to nail it home, brother. But, yeah, man, I mean, this team can really, like you say, man, it hurts. But this team can make hay from hurt. That's what I'm hoping. We can make hay from hurt and be runner-up to A&M in the regular season when the smoke clears. The final, you know what I'm saying? I believe this team is for real, man. I hate losing, man. I'm trying to put a finger on it. What could have got us over the hump, but it was our own damn, demise that did it. We did it to ourselves, man.
It's unbelievable. I mean, TR, what I hate about that game more than anything is you build that lead through tremendous work, and I really thought our fan base is really starting to buy into this team from the
stand. And I appreciate the passion from Hatfield. I mean, finally, we're like in the second week of January, we're getting some passion from Hatfield. Attaboy, Hatfield.
You think he's been checked out so far, TR? Because you're not the only one. Like, Orange Throat told me. Orange Throat told me he thinks Hatfield's been...
Voodoo Child, slot return. You got your mandolin there handy? Give me some slot return, Voodoo Child.
All right, let me say, TR, the chords of that are... That's out of tune. Okay, anyway, go ahead, TR. Let me tune up, and you do what you're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just, man, I know we got it, man. We got it on campus. We got Schofield, like you say. He's a true freshman. I mean, his older brother, Owen, I mean, he's really, he's been there. He's mature beyond his years, really, as a true freshman. But, I like our chances, man. I like our chances to rebound in Georgia. That's the only thing I don't like about Hatfield's. You know, he said, we're like Georgia. We ain't got nothing. So what is that, dude? You can't say that. We got something for Georgia, don't we, Hatfield? Jump in here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the rest of the league, I mean, you get past the top two or three teams in the league. I mean, and LSU is great one night and awful the next. I mean, no, they're Tennessee. Yes, they can play with anybody in this league most nights. But it's just that, I mean, you put yourself in a position.
Hey, Armani, I didn't mean to jump in. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Armani Moore's going back home, so he's going to get out of his funk. Offensively, putting the ball in the basket, scoring the basket, Quanto.
I thought he was okay offensively today, other than he was half the duo that kept throwing the ball away out of the high post, but.
Coach Hart needs to come in and give him a pep talk. You know, I eavesdropped on the snooze and he had a word with Holly after, we couldn't put the ball in the hole. You know, Coach Hart, you know,
Coach Hart talks to us, we'll go 3-15 in the SEC.
Coach Hart! Coach Hart!
Bunch of crap.
What a clown.
Hart has got Clemson on his mind.
What's worse, Coach Hart doing that, or Coach Hart then going to Jimmy Hyams and leaking to him
that he talked
to Holly because he's such a damn egomaniac? When is somebody going to put Coach Hart out of his misery here? Why is he the AD here? How much orange does he wear, TR, when you see Coach Hart out?
Ah, man, I don't believe I've
seen him lately, so I couldn't.
You'd have been proud of you'd have been proud of me today, T. I wore my smoky gray quarter zip with a orange power T.
Well, I feel guilty, man. I wasn't over there doing my part, man. I just couldn't make it today. I tried to, but it wasn't in the cards, man. But it was a great crowd on TV. It looked great. And I'm thinking, look, if, what's his name up there in Kentucky, Calipari, however you say it, you know, Barnes has got that Kentucky blue. I mean, they could, you know, he can slide right in there because he had more Kentucky blue on today than any damn thing. And that's getting under my freaking skin, man, that he cannot represent over there. But anyway, dude.
Does that bother you, Keith? TR, thank you for getting me to pick my guitar up. That was fun.
You're going to give me some jams on the way.
Well, I was tuned. What do you want to hear, T?
Whatever you want, whatever floats your boat.
Well, I've been playing a lot of jazzy stuff lately. I could play you some blues. I'll tell you what, TR, get the Periscope and I'll play you some blues later on. How's that sound?
Okay.
Love you, brother. Have a good one.
I guess my question is, Tony, how many coaches do wear school colors on the sidelines? I mean, I'm watching UTEP finish up here. Kim's wearing a kind of a houndstooth, kind of a tweed jacket, a pair of kind of black slacks, and I'm pretty sure none of those are UTEP's colors. Just saying.
Yeah, but UTEP doesn't have TR in their fan base.
I mean, did you want Barnes to start doing like hugs and wearing like a windbreaker over there?
TR doesn't. He doesn't hold people to Tim Floyd's standard. You feel me?
Well, I got you. I'm just saying. Actually, Tim's coaching enough places that if he had school colors for every place he'd coach, he'd probably have to have a storage unit to hold all his
colors. A lot of these guys have storage units, or they can do like, who was the coach?
Larry Brown would have to have a warehouse.
Who was the coach that when he left, he threw all his stuff in the corner and let people rummage through it? All the orange stuff was sitting there in the corner.
Wasn't that one of Kiffin's staff?
I think it was Kiffin. Kiffin laid.
I think all those guys did. I think all those guys left their stuff.
But his son's name is Knox. Smart way, ladies and gentlemen, where we were yesterday. It's a new year. It's a new you. 8416 Kingston Pike. Everything for your home where you're going to pay your way. It's home of the Be Smart, Buy Smart, Smart Way, and it's also home of where you control how the purchase is going to go. You get to pay your way. Find out more. Go online, gosmartway.net. Being in there yesterday, it is absolutely impressive, the merchandise they have in there. And it is first line, front line stuff. It is a great, great thing. Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back to our phones, get as many people in here as humanly possible on this Saturday. Thought we'd be celebrating a victory.
I mean, one thing is, though, Tony, I'll be honest. We go win Wednesday. We're probably where we should be.
That's exactly right. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee.
Next week's big.
Next week's huge. You got Georgia, and you got another winnable game on the road.
You got Georgia and Mississippi State on the road.
Two wins.
That's two games you can win. I mean, those are toss-up games. Well, then again, talking about being frustrated, how'd you like to be a Seton Hall fan? They tease you all year, and you think this is the year we'll get back to the tournament thing, and they're getting blown out at home by Creighton.
How about my Temple Owls, Hatfield? Talk about teasing somebody.
I would hate to try. Temple and the entire Pac-12, I would not want to be in charge of trying to figure out.
To the phones we go. Do you think Armani Moore was trying to buy that foul when he went out of bounds? Was he acting there, or was that a true push?
The problem is that's right down in front of me, but our entire bench was standing up, so I couldn't tell if it got hit or not. I mean, And, you know, that's frustration. I mean, just call timeout. As soon as you rebound that and you realize you've dribbled into the corner, just pick it up and call timeout. Don't try to dribble out of the corner. But I realize it's the heat of the game and everything, and I'm probably more frustrated than I should be in getting on him about that. But just pick it up and call timeout. And then it doesn't matter. That's another play that if we get the ball and kill 30 seconds there and maybe draw a foul and make some free throws there. I mean, there were two or three possessions there where if they don't get the run out and we run some clock and get to the foul line or get a basket, then they were as on the ropes as you can have a team, and but to their credit, they kept playing.
They're great. That's why they're good. That Caruso kid, I love him. He's only been there nine years, but I love him.
Hey, there are a lot of teams in the country that when they get down like that, they don't play hard enough that they get the run out because they ain't running.
Good point. And here's the thing. You just know if Tennessee could have hit one of those shots when it was 11 to make it 13 or 14.
Well, and let's be honest.
You break their spirit there. You're not in that spot with 5 minutes left.
Right. Well, let's look at it this way. Even more so. If the ball on Tennessee's last meaningful possession, if Mostella, the ball that goes two-thirds of the way down and pops back out goes in, it's a whole different mood on this show right now anyway.
To the phones we go.
Even though, I don't know, they'd had 7 seconds to score, and the way we were unable to stop them, I'm not sure we wouldn't just be sitting here talking about a buzzer beater loss.
All lines currently jammed on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee basketball overtime. Tony Basilio, Keith Hatfield reporting. That's two-thirds of your team for In the Paint, which airs on Foxville 43, 6:30 on Tuesday night with Donnie Tindall. Don't you dare miss it. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Chi-Town Trey.
Hey, Trey. Welcome in. Great meeting you a couple weeks ago, youngster.
Yeah, great meeting you too, Tony. You and Cinco. So I just want to say thank you, guys, because I don't have any Tennessee basketball fans up here. I just watched the game alone. I only caught the second half, which made it extra brutal. But this is really therapeutic. I really like what you guys do with this, and this really helps, especially on for football games and then days like this. I'm not going to crack on Armani, but Keith's right. You know, that in the corner there, you got several timeouts. You can't be trying to draw a foul. You just got to have that presence. But I'll give him credit. He came back and made a big block on the defensive end to get the ball right back. But you just got to call timeout there. You can't try to draw a foul when you're up big. And from the high post, there were a few passes where he pretty much just telegraphed him when he was passing out to the 3-point line. Like, it was a bit frustrating. But again, I can't get on Armani too much.
Keith, how about that? We're all calming down now.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't on Armani more. I mean, I'm not going to calm down about the one guy. That you can, that ain't going to happen. I mean, in fact, I'm just going to go ahead so that the show has a flow the rest of the year. I'm not going to comment on him at all after today. I don't give a damn if he comes out and scores 35 against Kentucky and makes a buzzer beater at the end. As far as I'm concerned, he's no longer here.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. Some of those plays he made, it was just like, make a bounce pass or just fake or do something. I mean, he threw it right to the guy a couple times. But anyway, I do love this style, guys. The way we play, you know, if we're going to lose, at least it's not going to be like this supposed defensive style with Konzo where we're scoring in the 50s and still losing. You know, we've got to be in the top 3 or 4. Do you guys know where we rank in scoring in the SEC? It seems like we're always in the 80s.
I haven't looked at it, but knowing that nobody else is coming, I would think A&M is probably the only team close to us, and I know they threw out a clunker earlier this year where they scored in the high 50s, low 60s out at Arizona State, I think it was, or somewhere. So, yeah, I would think that we're right up near the top of the SEC in scoring.
Yeah, it's very early year pro-esque. We're scoring a lot of points. We're like, if we don't get 80, it's almost a surprise now. But and I love that. It's fun. But, you know, with this style, one of the things I love most about the Florida game, guys, is that, you know, we kept going after them. We were just, we were up 20 in the second half, and we were still taking it to the rim. We weren't milking clock. And it seemed like we did that. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, even I was convinced, I'm like, all right, there's 4.5 minutes left. We're up 10. Maybe we can run 30 seconds each play and do it. But I just felt like even though they were playing zone, we didn't really attack. Like, we needed to just go after it a little more. And then that led to just, we got built up that one time. Caruso made the foul and Punter knocked down some free throws. But after that, we kept doing it. And it just took away from our offensive flow. We couldn't really score because we were just way too conservative. It's very, I would, related to a John Janzik prevent defense.
That's a great point. That's what it felt like. Today felt like the Florida game. That's what it felt like.
Well, what got me was you've got that much time left. You've got officials that obviously are having a bad day. And what does that usually result in at the end of a game? You're going to get the home whistle. They revert to the form that most officials do. So you're in the double bonus with 4 minutes to go up 10. Just run at the rim every time. Jalen Jones had 4 fouls. I mean, just run at the rim every time. You're going to get enough calls down the stretch that you can probably hold on just making free throws. And that was probably the frustrating thing to me is I thought they got into that mode where let's run clock instead of run offense because let's be honest, A&M did a really, either we did a great job offensively or they were awful defensively for the first 35 minutes because we scored pretty much at will. So I think we probably did kind of short circuit ourselves a little bit there.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much foul trouble they were in. That's interesting. We should definitely should have attacked then. And Tony, you mentioned those breakout plays. I think that was one of the most frustrating things. Keith, you just mentioned how if we just maybe say we run 20 seconds instead of 35 seconds at each offense possession, if we run 20 seconds, then we can at least maybe get set instead of having these crazy breakout plays that Tony was talking about.
Worse.
I'd rather us run 20 and them run 20 seconds. So that's 40 seconds instead of us just immediately giving up a bucket. And do either of you guys know, how did that happen? How did those breakdowns happen? Like, what was going on there?
Because our wings, for some reason, kept finding themselves down in the corners. I mean, somebody's got to rope. You've got to see that, and one of you's got to go out front for defensive balance, and neither one of them ever did because, like I said, I mean, look, I'm not going to attack somebody's personal intelligence because I don't know these guys, so I'm not. This is no reflection on that. But we're a basketball illiterate team for the most part. We've got maybe 2 or 3 guys that really know how to play and play the right way. And we've got a bunch of complete basketball illiterates.
Yeah, I agree.
It's tough to watch that. Trey, the thing that's hardest to watch about that is that it just didn't have to be that way today. Like, I don't mind. If you get beat, somebody beats your brains in, you don't make a shot, like last week at Auburn, that's fine. Tennessee played hard enough today. Play well enough to win. The thing they did today that they haven't done all year is they turned the ball over 18 times. But the truth is they were going to survive that. They were going to survive that. They had 16 turnovers with 7.5 minutes left, and they were up 9 or 10 points still. Even with 16 turnovers in their building.
Those were in the first half. I mean, the second half, they had a reasonable number of turnovers.
Yeah.
Granted, where Armani dribbles the ball out of bounds, whether or not he got fouled or whatever. But, I mean, that one hurts. The one when I guess we were down 2, where we throw the ball in the high post, and then I think it was Armani immediately throws the ball directly into Caruso's chest.
Painful.
But I mean, the turnovers in the second half weren't the problem. Now, granted, you can always make the argument that if you don't have the 13 in the first half, you've got a bigger working margin. But, hey, let's be honest. A&M's normally a pretty decent ball-handling team, and they turned it over the same number of times we did, so they at least balanced it out there. I mean, I think we had 13, and they had 12 at halftime. So it balanced itself out.
Yeah, it's painful. Tri-Town Trey, you're my guy, man. I love you and I appreciate you. And it was great meeting you. And thanks for being there up in beautiful Chicago, where Adam Gase today was hired by your Miami Dolphins. Double A's Miami Dolphins get Adam Gase. And my Eagles are going to get a 69-year-old head coach named Tom Coughlin, and I am 100% in favor of that.
Coughlin.
Love you guys. Take care.
Thank you, brother. I love Coughlin.
Coughlin will do just fine there. See, the Dolphins may be the worst organization in all professional sports.
Yes.
Because people want to go play there and stuff like, I mean, it's not like they're in some market where nobody wants to go or anything. Dolphins
Correct.
Should be good, and they're just a complete wreck. Well, how about Georgia Tech beating Virginia today?
I'm not telling, it's crazy. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us again, 865-200-5402. I remind you that portions of today's program, and again, the number is 865-200-5402, portions of today's program presented by our friends at your Garza Law Firm.